Hi, Assalamualaikum and good morning Dr. Farhana. Welcome to today's episode of Behaviorism in Higher Education, Shaping Learning and Engagement. Okay, in this episode, we will explore how behaviorism plays a role in learning, the core principle behind it, and how these strategies can be implemented in university settings. So we will also address some my conceptions and share a real world example of a successful behaviorist approach. So I'm your host, Nurhayati Yusof, and joining me today is Dr. Siti Farhana, SM Johan, as a senior lecturer in civil engineering department. So, Dr. Tana, to kick this thing off, let's talk about the core principle of behaviorism. Dr. Farhana, could you explain the basic ideas behind this theory?
Oh, okay, sure. Thank you, Dr. Hayati. Sure. And at its core, behaviorism focuses on observable behavior rather than internal mental states. The theory posit that all learning is a result of external stimuli that elicit a specific response from an individual. So, if a student performs a certain behavior, it's typically because they have been conditioned by the environment. This kind of environment could include things like teachers' instructions, feedback, or even a peer interaction. You remember, in terms of learning, it means that students are essentially responding to their environment. They learn new behavior or modify existing ones based on how they are reinforced or punished. There are two main types of conditioning involved in behaviorism. First, classical conditioning, and the second is operant conditioning. For the classical conditioning, is a neutral stimulus is paired with an unconditioned stimulus to produce a conditioned response. Like you think of a Pavlov dogs. Okay, for the operant conditioning, this is behavior more influenced by consequences like reinforce or punishment. This is more relevant in the classroom setting, where a teacher might reinforce good behavior or correct response with praise or rewards.
Wow, great! So now that we are a clear understanding of the principles, how can these behaviorist strategies be implemented in university courses?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Ati. One effective way to implement behaviorism strategies in university courses is through clear expectations and consistent feedback. Let's say a professor set up a grading rubric that rewards students for specific behaviors like critical thinking, participation, or quality of research. When the students meet this criteria, they are positively reinforced either through grades, verbal, praise, or other incentive. There's another strategy is the use of operant conditioning. For example, the lecturer might offer rewards or extra credit for students who participate actively in class or complete assignment early. Similarly, with negative reinforcement could be used, such as reducing the amounts of homework for students who consistently meet deadlines or participate in discussion. That's all for me.
Oh, I see. So it's about creating an environment where the desired behaviors, whether it's completing assignment on time or engaging in class discussion, are reinforced, which encourages students to repeat those behaviors.
Exactly. Additionally, using quizzes and self-assessment frequently helps students practice behavior by testing their knowledge and receiving immediate feedback. The quick feedback helps them adjust their behavior and improve their performance as they go along.
That makes sense. Now, there are likely some misconceptions about behaviorism, especially in the context of education. So, what are some of the most common ones?
One common misconception is that behaviorism ignores the cognitive aspect of learning, like thinking, understanding, or internal motivations. Some people think that behaviorism only focuses on rewards and punishments, and therefore it doesn't support deep learning or critical thinking. But the truth is, behaviorism can complement cognitive learning because it provides us the structure and reinforcement necessary to encourage deeper engagement and mastery of content.
So it's about balancing structure with freedom, making sure there's room for exploration while reinforcing behaviors that lead to success.
Yeah, that, exactly.
Okay, finally, can you, Dr. Farhana, share an example of a successful behaviorist approach you have seen in a university setting?
Okay, for example, sure. For example, in Ninimas, one example comes from a professor who used behaviorist principle to encourage student participation in large lecture halls. They set up a point system where students could earn points for answering questions in class or participating in discussion. At the end of the semester, those points contribute to their final grade. The professors or lecturers consistently reinforce this behavior by providing positive feedback when students answered the question correctly. Over the time, students become more comfortable and eager to participate, and there was a noticeable increase in engagement throughout the course. Additionally, I always use this one. I use the quiz every week that provide immediate feedback. The result reinforced their learning habit and encouraged them to study more actively in order to do well on future quizzes. This created an environment where students were motivated by external rewards, but also learned the material effectively because their behavior was reinforced at each stage.
That's a great example of behaviorism in action. It shows how reinforcing certain behaviors, like participation or studying, can really make a difference in student engagement and learning outcomes.
Yeah, that's correct, Dr. Ati.
So, well, that's wrap up today's discussion on behaviorism in higher education. We have covered the core principle, how they apply to learning, how they, Dr. Farhana applied to learning, strategies for the implementation, micro concept, and a real world example of success. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you, Dr. Farhana, for sharing your insight.
My pleasure, Dr. Ati. I hope this gives our listener a better understanding of how behaviorism can enhance their teaching and learning experience. Okay?
Absolutely. And to our listeners, don't forget to subscribe for more discussion on educational theories. Until next time, keep reinforcing those learning behaviors. Thank you.